You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 106, Lilo and Stitch, the Bait and Stitch. Hi guys, it's me, Sadness, and I'm here to talk about the newest episode of the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Lilo and Stitch, episode 106. Can't believe it's been that long. Anyways, like I said, I'm your host, Sadness, and I'm here with my other co-host, the Blue Fairy, who's really nice, and my other friend, who gets me, No Face. No Face doesn't talk.
Sen! I'll get you, Sen!
Hello, guys. This is a Halloween episode. If you are listening on the audio version, we are all dressed up in various costumes for our live stream. I am Morgan Stradling. I'm dressed as Sadness. Chelsea Robson is dressed as the Blue Fairy. And, of course, the wonderful Mason Smith apparently did his costume in about 5 minutes, and he is No Face.
I did. Every visualization student knows that you need white foam core and Sharpies whenever you need them. And so so here I am. Yeah. Gloves courtesy of my wife and hoodie courtesy of whatever their workshop they made it.
Even though we're not doing a Halloween-esque or scary movie for this episode, this is kind of our Halloween episode since that's why we decided to dress up. You know, we did do Hotel Transylvania and Hotel Transylvania 2 the past two episodes, so those kind of count as our spooky episodes for the month. But this episode, we are just doing something really fun. We are talking about Disney's Lilo and Stitch, which is one of the most requested films that we've had in recent time. So I'm actually really excited to talk about it because this film has a huge following, a huge fan base. Didn't necessarily leave its mark in the way that most or some other Disney animated films have. However, I still think it's really a good one to talk about. So I'm excited that this was the patron choice for this episode.
Yeah, good job, patrons. And confession, I don't know if it's the 100th episode, but this is one of like the surprisingly many animated films I had never seen before this episode.
I'm glad that we can finally knock this one off your list.
Stitch version. Yeah.
So with the Rotoscopers, with the Animation Addicts Podcast, what we do is we go through in-depth discussion about all of these movies that we do. So today, as Morgan said, we are talking about Lilo and Stitch. And because of that, if you have not seen it, honey, it came out in 2002. It's your own fault if you haven't seen this movie. It's a great one. You should definitely pause it right now, go watch it, and then come back. If you've seen it, because most of the world has, we're going to take you back in time to 2002.
There's no place to rather be. Lingering in the ocean blue. I surf till the sunset.
Netflix likes to put it, a sports comedy.
What?
That was how it came up on Netflix.
Netflix is so kooky.
Surfing is a sport, and dancing could be a sport. So I
surfing is a sport.
That is
not how I would. I would do this more of a modern day sci-fi comedy.
A family feel-good musical sci-fi comedy. Kind of like how Mulan is like eight genres in one movie.
All right, so let's go right into it. Let's start talking about Lilo and Stitch. So,
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
General facts about the film from Wikipedia, of course. So this is done by Walt Disney Animation Studios. It is their 42nd animated film, which is really exciting. You know, they were basically doing one animated film a year at this point in time, and we're closing in on that big 50. Its directors were Dean DeBlois and Chris Sanders, who you might know from other animated films. Dean is one of the directors of How to Train Your Dragon, and Chris Sanders we know from from DreamWorks films like The Croods. And I think it's interesting to talk about Chris Sanders, and he has a very unique art style, which I think reflected in this film. So we'll talk about that a bit. It was released July 21st, 2002. This was quite a busy year, the same year as Treasure Planet, the Powerpuff Girls movie, Ice Age, Cinderella 2, Dreams Come Through, Hey Arnold movie, Land Before Time, Journey to Big Water. Of course, right? So many classics came out this year.
You would think that it would have had a better chance, like a better shot at the Oscars, considering the competition. But unfortunately, it lost to Spirited Away, and I think that it's kind of a weird. Not weird, it's understandable because it is a foreign film that was, you know, brought in, but it was created in 2001, so I think it gets an unfair advantage, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Based on the U.S. release date.
Right.
All right, can I make an extension to my confession about having never seen Lilo and Stitch?
Please do.
There is a reason why I have never seen Lilo and Stitch, okay? And that reason is because my family went to Disney World when I was young, and it was right during Stitch Mania. And we'll talk about the marketing, because the Stitch marketing campaign was crazy. But Stitch was everywhere in the parks when we went, all right? And we went on the ride, Stitch's Great Escape and Tomorrowland. We came out so disgusted and so angry at Stitch for what he did to us while we were trapped in that observation room when he escaped, that we never saw the movie. We, like, boycotted it because of the ride, like, strictly because of the ride. When the Smith family boycotts something, we all band together and we like, stick to it. Mayonnaise, Lilo and Stitch. It took a very long time for me to finally get around to watching it.
Awesome.
So that's why I hadn't seen it until today.
I'm glad that it, you know, you've gotten over your prejudice.
I got over it.
And I actually have a correction. I said Dean's last name. It's DeBlue, not DeBlois, whatever I said. So I'm sorry.
That happens to the best of us.
I don't claim to know French or speak French or be very good at pronouncing French. So. DeBlue. Yes, Stitch Mania. So before we talk about that, one last thing. Budget, $80 million, and worldwide did $273 million, which pretty darn good.
Yeah, it was actually one of only two films since this and Princess and the Frog that came out in 2009. They were one of the only two films from Walt Disney Animation Studios released in the 2000s that actually met with critical praise and got their money back in its initial theatrical release.
Way to get your money back, Disney.
And be a good movie all at the same time.
Thousands were time, weren't they?
What? Yeah, the 2000s were just hard. Which, you know, as I was looking it up, it was interesting to see, like, the budget was $80 million here. If you went back to back in, like, Lion King was less than 30 million. And then right after Lion King, it was like, woo, let's make, you know, all the animators like, let's make some money, which you can't blame them. But that made the next movie, Hunchback of Notre Dame, like, balloon up to the $100 million levels. And then over here, it's, like, kind of gone back down. They're like, eh, we're going to cut back a bit on this one.
Had we ever done Hunchback?
We have not.
Oh, man. We got to do that one. Days. Patrons?
To the rescue! All right, so Stitch hype. That
Stitch
was
hype, indeed.
Part of this film. Specifically, I think one of the things that made this film stand out and maybe got some people excited were these Stitch trailers. So basically, if what these trailers were, and I'll include a few links to them in the show notes, but they were Stitch invading other movies. So there was one, Aladdin and Jasmine on a magic carpet, and they were riding, and then all of a sudden Stitch would get in the way and take over and totally mess up the movie. And so it was, they were really playing on this, you know, obvious nostalgia and love for these Disney animated characters and classics. You know, since this film is so different, it's very modern, it's space, all these things, I think that it was actually very smart of them because they wanted, if you were just going to focus on a space Disney animated film, it might not have resonated at that time very much. However, by
look at Treasure Planet.
Yeah. Tacking that on to these other things like Aladdin, you know, people would watch a commercial that had Aladdin and then suddenly it was a bait and switch. It gets taken over by Stitch.
The bait and switch.
Hilarious. The bait and stitch, as you know.
The bait tackle. And stitch, everyone. You heard it first on the Rotoscopers.
So, yeah, what were you, do you guys remember that anime campaign?
Yeah, I definitely do.
They played AC/DC whenever he would show up. They played Back in Black.
Of course they would. He's the one that ruins it all. You know, it was, I think it really did get people back into theaters because it did focus on all of those. I mean, like the ones that were passed, like the last three of them were like the lowest. So it was like Dinosaur, Emperor's New Groove, and Atlantis.
Emperor's New Groove did that bad?
Well, it was just in theaters. They all did pretty bad. And so they were really wanting to, like, hey, let's go back to those days. Remember those days, guys? They were awesome. And which they were. And so I felt like it was genius looking back at it. But I remember at the time I was like, I don't approve.
They tried to rewake Sleeping Beauty.
I don't know. Like, it worked out well. I mean, Stitch then became huge. Afterward, everybody loved Stitch. Everybody was wanting to wear. My cousins they went to Disneyland one time, and they all had sweaters where they wrote project or not project. What's the word?
Oh yeah, subject 26626 or
yeah, experiment 267, yeah. 268, and 269. So like my three cousins, they went, and that was what they did. I was like, you guys are funny, but everybody really loved this movie.
Yeah, and you know, like we were saying, this film did quite well in theaters. It made its money back a few times over, but really the biggest breakaway character was Stitch, and they probably made who knows how many millions, if not billions, on this character because he was everywhere, almost to the point where it was very annoying and frustrating. He was the new Tinkerbell. I mean, he does have quite a presence in the parks, but not as it was for the few years afterwards, which is great. You know, I mean, that's really it. As a company that needs to make money and have a profit, you want a Frozen level of success that converts into people buying merchandise, and that's exactly what people did for Stitch.
Yeah. I remember I wonder how hardcore, like, Disney classics fanatics felt about Stitch, like, butting into all their, like, wonderful moments in Disney classic history, you know?
Well, that's how I felt. I felt annoyed. Well, I was like, what are you doing? Why are you tainting my, like, bringing all these? I know that they did get the same voice actors to come in for, like, the Aladdin one, which I did appreciate. If they're going to put them on stage, at least put them on screen with the same voices. But yeah, I was kind of upset. And for that reason, I think, is why I didn't really gravitate to this movie originally.
Yeah, I remember the parks were totally saturated with Stitch. He was everywhere. He was on the loudspeakers. You know, they had Stitch merchandise everywhere. And it was just insane. And we were all rolling our eyes because we went to Tomorrowland, like, first off the bat, and we were like, hey, let's try Stitch's Great Escape. Can't be that bad. And then, you know, we learned to hate him. But that was unfortunate. But, yeah, he was everywhere. And I remember the commercials were – I thought the commercials were kind of crazy. Like, I don't know. I guess they were just trying to sell the idea that Stitch is bad news and you will be really entertained by him.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What's interesting.
Popular in Japan.
Really?
Yeah.
He's incredibly popular.
No Face is popular in Japan.
People love him there. People love the Stitch. So my first thoughts about this film, I remember, you know, this is the time where, I love Disney films, as I still do today. I saw it opening day. I saw it with my friend and her mom. And then I don't know my initial feelings from the film, but I think I thought it was good, but obviously it wasn't one that I ended up watching a million times over like Aladdin or some of these other films. But it was very good, and I was surprised. But watching it again, you know, I think you know how Disney feels about their films, whether they are on Netflix. Okay, if they're not in the vault and they're not getting a Diamond Edition or any sort of, you know, special Blu-ray release, if they're just on Netflix just because, it's probably a sign that Disney doesn't hold this one too sacred or close to its heart, right?
Yeah.
This one is on Netflix, along with its sequel.
Along with its sequel.
Other things on Netflix, things like Pocahontas 2 and Mulan 2. And then we have Lilo and Stitch right next to it, which isn't a good sign for...
Hey, Pocahontas 2 is legit.
Yes, they go back to England to see John Rolfe.
You know, it's interesting, though, is like when this was first coming out, Thomas Schumacher, who was the president of animation at the time, he decided during that first year of production that they basically hid it from the heads of the company. Like anytime that they would ask about it, like, how's that Stitch thing going on? And like, oh, you know, it's just still in development. We're going to focus on this right now. Like he would always push it off to the side so that the people wouldn't come in and look at it because they really just wanted the story to develop a lot. And I think that's one of those things as younger, I didn't appreciate the you know themes of it, and it is definitely like that older sense of like, you know, little kids will like Stitch and they'll like, oh, he's cute and fluffy, but
it was all a lie. It was all an elaborate ruse,
right? But they're not really gonna get the deeper meanings, which is, you know, understandable. And okay. Now as I look back, I'm like, I get it, Chris Sanders.
And a lot of people have a lot of attachment to this film. And I think that's because it doesn't play it safe in really any aspect. It didn't have a traditional, you know, five Disney songs that are very hummable and singable. I mean, there are a few songs, but, you know, not what we were used to. Well, broken families can be very common in Disney films. You know, there are no parents here, but you have this sister raising the other sister and the real life modern day struggles of trying to make that work and job and having, you know, child protective services get involved. I mean, that is something that is so modern and so real.
And they're all ex-CIA agents.
Yeah. And things, you know, the different themes that it hits on, you know, of abandonment and family. And it's different than most animated films. And so I think that's why maybe people going in expecting this super happy princess movie might be leaving the theater feeling, oh, look, that was different. Good. Maybe, hopefully they say that, but different.
Yeah. I think they were really going for different, like It's kind of like Stitch is like the anti-Disney character. Like, he is anything but cute and cuddly. He's like completely he is bred for destruction. Or whatever.
Exactly. He's meant to destroy. He's meant to tear everything apart. He's meant to not really love you. Which is cool. We'll talk about how that ultimately changes.
He will be irresistibly drawn to large cities where he will back up sewers, reverse street signs, and steal everybody's left shoe.
Yes. So one thing that makes this film stand out to me is the character design.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Your stick-thin princesses with their 10-inch waists.
Move over, ladies.
Everybody, it's very real, and people are, I guess you would say, a little thicker than what you normally would have seen in an animated film. You know, I think a lot of times with art, people try to make things look some people choose to make things look perfect and accentuate certain things like waists and you know, women are particularly sometimes very shown as petite or tiny or thin, and men are bigger and whatever.
And white.
Disregards all that, and this is very much Chris Stander's style, where he has these characters with these, you know, really hearty legs and bodies, and it's
thick ankles.
Yes, the ankles.
Strong, thick ankles for bearing children. I'm just kidding.
So how did you guys like the character design of this film?
Okay, one of my peers in one of my animation classes on campus did a presentation on Nani. And she explained Chris Sanders' style, and like, I love this. Like, it's like, you don't have to be stick thin to be a compelling Disney female, you know? It's so brilliant. And you know, I looked at a couple of interviews with Chris Sanders about the character designs for Nani and Lilo and a lot of the other people. And he explained that, like, the rounder, like, non-anorexic designs, it just occurred naturally. Like, it was just kind of a thing that happened, and it wasn't really part of any, like, initiative by Disney Studios. They didn't, like, be like, well, we need to start, you know, we need to fix the image that we're sending to girls and women, so blah, 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 blah. It just happened naturally.
Did he actually say the non-anorexic style?
No, that's me. That's Mason. Okay. That's Mason's speech. I'm not quoting here. But they went with the more rounder designs because it just seemed appropriate. I don't know. They just did it kind of. That's the thing that I got from it. And I really love it. Like, not just the design, but just the expressiveness of the characters. And that's a lot of, you know, Andreas Deja, who was the lead animator for Lilo and you know, all the human characters just seem very real because they weren't these, like, they just because they seemed, you know, proportionally more real.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a great, great, great thing. And I wish there were more animated films that portrayed females and people in general of both genders in that way.
I'm going to say I was super impressed with how well the animation worked on top of the watercolor backgrounds.
Oh my goodness.
That was beautiful. I loved that taste that they brought in there. The fact that it's in Hawaii, so, you know, doing it in watercolors, it seems so perfect, and the fact that it works so well, which just made me happy.
Yeah, totally.
Watercolor backgrounds, I mean, a lot of the original Disney films had that. That was something that was very standard and classic of those early films, like, you know, Bambi, Snow White, and Pinocchio. And so that was a very conscious effort to harken back to that traditional style of Disney animation. And I think it works very well. It's interesting because it's in a very modern setting, but it works. And to me, it, you know, when I think of great Disney background artists, I think of Tyrus Wong, who did a lot of the backgrounds in Bambi, and they're just beautiful, and they're so expressive in just the story that they're able to tell and the colors that are used. And so I really enjoyed seeing that because I think they could have gone all sorts of different directions with that, but they chose to keep that one element sort of pretty standard.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as far as Mason mentioned, Andreas Deja being the lead animator for Lilo, I actually listened to a really neat podcast of his interview with him on the Brancoff Brothers podcast. And I definitely, you should check it out. It's like an hour or so long. And he just talks about some of the stuff that he's doing now. But he did, in the last like 10 minutes or so, he does go in on a little bit of Lilo and how his, the time working on that. And he said that it was so difficult, one of the most difficult jobs he had ever done, because Lilo's expressions were so minimal. And to be able to, I mean, you know, you do somebody like Jafar and you kind of, you can work with the twistiness of everything. But with Lilo, it's just so earnest. But everything, like when she, like, for example, the time he mentioned specifically when she's looking at Cobra Bubbles, his knuckles is like, have you ever killed anyone? It was just like those little moments of just like, okay. But I really like that man. Lilo is such a great character.
Yeah, she is amazing. Can we just talk about Lilo for the rest of the episode? Because she deserves a lot more credit and recognition as a character than Stitch. Okay, Stitch is pretty cool. Like, if there was a Super Smash Brothers for Disney characters, which I've always wished there was, Stitch would be like this bonus character that'd be really hard to unlock, but was like unstoppable once you got him. Like, you'd be playing and be like, oh, sweet, yeah, Aladdin is my main. Oh, I always play as Stitch. Oh, no, we're all going to die. But anyway, just a little scenario I thought up. Disney, make Super Smash Brothers for Disney, please.
That'd be amazing. Can you imagine if they did that? They had Disney characters beating each other up.
Yes. Yes. All the fan fictions ever made along with Kingdom Hearts. They could incorporate Kingdom Hearts into it too.
Oh my goodness.
It'd be perfect.
That'll go over so well with marketing.
No. Yeah. They'd make it work. They make it work. but anyway, Stitch is great, but Lilo is greater. Like, I love her animation. Like, she represents us weird people very well, and it's high time somebody did that. I don't know if anyone's taking me seriously with the mask on. I think Lilo is great.
The princesses aren't these little meek characters anymore. They don't stand up for themselves. Stick them in a melee and watch them go at it.
Well, look at Rapunzel. She could have her frying pan.
Yeah, the hair.
She'd be like Princess Peach when she does that one attack and she hits you with a frying pan. Anyway, Lilo is one of the greatest Disney characters of all time, in my opinion. She's got an awesome personality. Finally, a Disney character that represents us weird people. And then, she can say something ridiculous with a completely straight face. And she totally believes what she's saying. Like, she's like a mad scientist waiting to happen.
Weather.
Huh? He controls the weather. Yeah, I was thinking that exactly.
Right. He's like, oh, he's a vampire, and he tried to get me to join his Legion of the Undead. And she's like, I knew it. It just goes on. There's no moment where they look at...
My puppy found the chainsaw.
Yeah, there's no... Oh, yeah, the Beast would be amazing in Disney Super Smash Brothers. But anyway, she would be... she's crazy, and she's awesome. And, like, I don't know. I just... I want to be more like Lilo.
Yeah, like I said before, I think she's just a very real character, and you see that she's struggling with a lot of things in her life, even though she's so young, and she's doing her best to cope. And unfortunately, whether it's because of her situation or just because she's kind of kooky, she's not popular. She's not accepted by the other girls her age. And
definitely not.
That doesn't help the situation with her and her sister. And so you really feel for her because it's one of those things that, you know, be nice to everyone because you don't know what they're going through. With Lilo, there's all these things, and she's doing her best to cope. And whether that means she's, you know, feeding a peanut butter sandwich to a fish because that makes her happy, or...
no, because it controls the weather.
Laying on the floor listening to Elvis, she's doing her best, and obviously her sister is doing her best, which we will... I guess we can go right into Nani, who I love.
Nani rules. She's so down to earth.
And you were talking about the design of the characters. What I love about Nani is that she's just a very real female, and even the way that her stomach is designed, like, it has those little lines. Not when someone is so skinny they have, you know, lines on their stomach.
Yeah, it's when you like curl up, you know, and your stomach crunches.
Like she has a little pudge, and that's okay. Yeah. She's gonna keep wearing that midriff top, and she's gonna rock it. And she's in Hawaii of all places, so yeah.
Hawaii. No, 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 like a holla, holla, holla. I don't know that song.
Those are great songs, though.
They are. Yeah, I like her a lot because basically I love every blank Incredulous stare that she gives Stitch. Like, everything that he does, she's just kind of like, there's like these awesome moments where she's just staring at him being like, what kind of dog is this? Also, all these characters are morons for not realizing Stitch is not a dog.
Right.
She's like, I think it's a koala.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Yeah.
Well, like, her only real friend outside of... Well, yeah, her only real friend is the David character, who is voiced by Jason Scott Lee, and who is the same guy who played Mowgli on the 94 edition of The Jungle Book, my favorite edition. Yeah, I liked his personality, too. Like all he wants is to date her. Like, that's it.
Like, yeah, he's great. I love the line, I really believe they had a chance until you came along. Who says that to a dog?
Yeah.
You ruined everything, you stupid dog.
Well, it's like, how did the dog do everything? Like,
well, no, I think that goes to show that a lot of times when things are falling apart in someone's life, they just look to anything external to blame it on. You know, either they don't want to take responsibility for themselves, or it's just something easy, like the dog, you know, kick the dog while it's down sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. You can't keep a good dog down.
No, 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 no.
You can't keep a good dog down.
No, 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 no.
I'm sorry, but I gotta take this off.
That was gonna happen. So
luckily, I have my Over the Garden Wall t-shirt on.
Nice.
So it's yes, it's officially Halloween season.
Yes, Mason designed that t-shirt. I'll include a link in the show notes so you can buy
it. This shirt?
Over the Garden Wall t-shirt, which he designed.
I designed this shirt right here that I'm gonna show off. Like, what?
Ooh.
Come wayward souls. Yeah.
All right, so what are some other characters? There's Dr. Jumba.
Okay, Dr. Jumba Jukiba, or I forget what they say his last name is because they just call him Jumba. He is like a cross between a hippo, a beetle, and a Muppet. But he is literally my digital image coding professor. Like, he is literally my professor in digital image. He talks with the same accent. He kind of looks like him. And nice shot. And then, yeah, I like him a lot because he's like, I'm just waiting until I am not under the supervision of the Galactic Federation, and then I'm going to do it my way.
He's kind of acting the part of a good guy. At the very beginning, you know, he's under trial, and then he gets arrested, and then he's, oh, whoops, that thing. Oh, that was just an experiment.
I did not create anything twice. Yeah. Or something like that.
Experiment 626.
He gets put on Earth to track him down because he's the only person who really can. And he's kind of acting the good guy part, but not really, right? It's like Mason said, he's just looking for that opportunity to leave. And then at the very end, I mean, is he a good guy at the end? Is he a bad guy? I mean, he has his own agenda. Let's put it that way.
I'd say he is. I say, like, he's just looking for, yeah, he's looking to do his own thing. But, I mean, the way they portray him in, I mean, he comes in as Santa Claus. I mean, that means he's good, right?
No, Disney teaches you that Santa Claus is evil. Did you not see Nightmare Before Christmas?
It's true.
Okay, I like him. And then there's Agent Pleakley. Oh, also about Dr. Jumba, he is voiced by David Ogden Steers, who was best known as Governor. See, we always have to like walk on eggshells when we try to pronounce a name on this show. And all the people are like, you got it wrong. But yeah, he voiced Governor Ratcliffe and Wiggins. Oh, gift baskets. And then he was Cogsworth on Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, he has done quite a bit for Disney Animation. I love his voice. I think I would like to see him in even more things.
Yeah, you also had Kevin Michael Richardson. I think he was the Captain Grapthar, whatever that guy's name, the big security captain guy.
So Agent Pleakley, he is, again, this is our classic big and small scenario. Big guy, Dr. Jumba, and we have Agent Pleakley, who is the small, shrivelly guy, and he is just the total nerd, and he has convinced an alien population or another that mosquitoes, or convince the Earth population that mosquitoes are an endangered species and need to be protected. So that is why they can't just blow up Earth, much like in Star Wars.
We can't invade them. Yeah, it's a we've been using it to preserve the mosquito population.
Like, so that's why I get bit every year.
Yeah, totally.
One finally, he's like, oh, a mosquito has chosen me as its resting place for its home. Oh, ow, oh, ah!
they're snuggling my skin with their noses. Oh, poor guy. And then he hates everything in the ocean. There's a shark, and then the octopus is worse than the shark.
Yes.
It's like, I hate this planet.
But one of my favorite characters and a real standout is Agent Cobra Bubbles.
I forgot about this guy.
He really makes every scene better.
No, he does. He's hilarious. He's funny. He's every moment that he's every scene that he is in, he really does steal the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him. Except there's this one part where he's like, that dog has to be a model citizen. And I'm like, as a social worker, I don't think you can tell the family how the dog is supposed to act. But whatever. Wouldn't be the first time a government worker overstepped his bounds. But yeah, he's really cool, and I love how they play this like suction cup noise whenever he takes his glasses off. It's like, because they're so like, they're kind of big and intense. I really like him. And I was like, I don't know. I kind of, yeah, he is Nick Fury's cousin. Someone just said on chat. But I just, oh, since Disney owns Marvel, he very well could be Nick Fury's cousin. House of Mouse, bring it back, people. All kinds of different mashups you can have. Yeah, I like him because I knew he was kind of like a secret agent type when I first saw him. Because I was like, he's like, I'm a special whatever. Special social worker or whatever. And I was like, okay. And she's like, your knuckles say Cobra. I like it.
Well, and then you have, as far as the other human friends, the girls.
They're not friends.
Yeah, they're not friends at all. But like,
I thought you said they were the enemy.
That redhead is such a jerk. And then I actually went in and watched a couple of the episodes of the TV show just because I was like, I wonder what's on here. And like, they really play that up in the TV show. Just the redhead is a huge jerk.
Yeah, it's really funny because, you know, this film is set in Hawaii, and for the most part we see this Hawaiian family of Nani and Lilo and David. But it's just really funny, in the very beginning scene we see them dancing, and all the older girls are clearly Hawaiian, to the point where they're just nondescript. They all sort of look more or less like each other. But then all of Lilo's friends, there's a lot of diversity. And, you know, I get it. There's all sorts of people who live in Hawaii, but I just thought it was very interesting because the only other real, you know, traditional, I don't know, the other white people other than the Hawaiians are the tourists. But her friends are kind of a mix of everything. You got the redhead, you got the blonde. So.
Yeah, totally.
There's only like two Hawaiians in that little group of five. Lilo and the other one.
Yeah. Actually, there's a lot of diversity in this movie. But I did like that there was a lot of Hawaiian shown, you know, the store owner. And, you know, they even do traditional Hawaiian sort of things. You know, if you're a Hawaiian living in Hawaii, yeah, you're going to learn how to hula. And, yeah, you're going to, you know, be a performer and spit fire like David. It's just that's what the economy, you know, the tourist economy of Hawaii wants. The people, wherever they're from, they don't have to be Americans. They could be from China. They could be from Australia. They want to come and they want to see this true Hawaiian experience. So, mm-hmm.
Aloha.
I thought it was interesting that they played up, you know, that David and Nani worked in that environment.
Yeah. And then she called it like a crummy fake Hawaiian luau. Yeah. But I don't know. When she stormed away from her work, the owner, like, he looked really sad that she was leaving. So I think she was just being a jerk. He's like, it's not fake. It's been passed down from generations. But anyway, yeah. So I guess this brings us to Stitch. Well, besides Stitch, there's all the Galactic Federation aliens, which must have been a blast to design.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're so different and crazy, and it must have been like a creative dream to design all of them and like animate them and stuff. By the way, I really like Dr. Jumba's animation. Like, it's very strange. Like, he's not even over the top. There's no point in this movie where someone does something funny and looks at the camera's like, get it? It was a joke, you know?
That happens.
Yeah.
I don't know, which brings me to Stitch. Stitch is an awesome character. He would be a top-tier Disney Super Smash Brothers character just because he is bred for one purpose, to destroy and break everything he sees. Mm-hmm. Stealing a squad cruiser. That's this guy's a real thug.
Aw, he took the red one.
Oh, I love those little piglet aliens that are in the control deck. They look just like Piglet. Go back and watch it.
When you imagine aliens, I don't think you imagine, you know, this super cute looking thing, but they just kind of took everything and spun it on its head. You know, you got these little piglets and they're so cute and they look amazing. And then you have, you know, the big shark guy, and then you have, you know,
Jumba. Shark guy. Ooh, ah.
Everyone's different.
Yeah, totally. Everyone is different. But yeah, Stitch is amazing. I love how evil he is at first, and then he has to like force himself to be civilized just so that Jumba and Agent Pleakley don't capture him. You know, he's only doing this so that he can stay alive and stay away from the Federation, and that starts his little character arc, I guess. And then like the part where he's like looking around, they're looking at him through the plasma rifle scope, and he's like, how good is his hearing? You know, he looks at him. It's one of my favorite parts. I don't know why. Just little gags like that that are very subtle, that they feel like they don't have like this explicit laugh track going along with them, you know?
Yeah, no, that was one of my favorite parts about this movie. I watched it. I actually watched it 3 times in the last month.
Whoa.
Well, because at first we were going to do this movie a couple weeks ago, and then schedule changed, so I've been ready for that one. And then my nieces and nephews were over, and I was like, might as well watch it right now. So I put it in with them. They love this movie, and they're like, oh, it's my favorite movie ever. I'm like, really? Okay, cool. Glad I picked the right one. And then I watched it today, just had it going in the background. But that was one of my favorite parts about it, is these jokes were so non-pandering. And they just were thrown out there that were just really, really funny.
Yeah, it was like a different level altogether than Emperor's New Groove,
mm-hmm.
which is a hilarious movie, but it's just a different kind of humor. And I appreciated Lilo and Stitch very much for being different and for being kind of divergent from like the crazy madcap mayhem humor movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Stitch could have been a minion really easily. I don't hate the minions, but he could have been one of them pretty easily. Anyway, so I like the crazy exposition that takes like 10 minutes before the title credits even show up. It's pretty crazy. They spent a lot of effort going into like the lives of these Galactic Federation dudes. Yeah. Like, it goes on and on and on, you know, and everybody's in character and everyone's taking their job seriously. I mean, they really go in depth with these guys. Love the piglet aliens. And like, it's in the ventilation system. And it's like, in a sci-fi movie, it's always in the ventilation system. You can count on it being in the ventilation system. In fact, one of the requirements for a sci-fi movie is that it gets in the ventilation system, whatever it is.
You know, if that's the case, I don't understand why there isn't more security measures against the ventilation system.
No. They had the heat-seeking lasers that go after his genetic signature. Well, it's foolproof. Trust us, we're aliens.
To be overlooked in a lot of films.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, you know, most diverse cast of aliens in a Disney movie goes to Lilo and Stitch. I mean, this movie's hilarious. It's got so many funny parts and, like, funny moments.
I really like the part when Nani is talking on the phone with David, and she's like, I think it's a koala. I don't even know what it is, but it's just not a dog. Like, it's just weird. And I come in, and I look, and at that moment in time, you can see the Stitch's shadow on the walls with all the six legs out, and then you look at him, and it's just him with the two legs, and he's, like, pulling out a caffeinated beverage with a red can. I wonder which one it was. And I'm just like, he just, like, goes back up. Hey, all
right. Oh, no, he, like, looks back at her, gets the thing, goes back, looks back at her one more time, and then goes back up. The whole time she's just like, this is a crazy dog. And it's like, no one really, everybody thinks he's a dog, but he, like, plays the guitar perfectly. And she's like, Nani, watch this. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. I forget which Elvis song it is.
We're caught in a trap, suspicious minds.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're caught in a trap. I can't because I love you, baby. You know, it's so funny. And the scene almost has no point, but then to show off, like, how Lilo thinks Stitch is, like, so cool. Mm-hmm. And Stitch is just like, you know what? I'm kind of only doing this. I'm kind of only doing this so that no one kills me or takes me to prison again. I can't go to jail again. Yeah. Oh, then one of my favorite lines. Oh, good. My dog found the chainsaw. But she's talking to Agent Bubbles. And then I don't know why this is so funny, but this is just why Lilo is such a great character. The redheaded girl who will someday grow up to be the nerdy redheaded girl on the Proud Family. When the redheaded girl makes fun of her, Lilo just straight up tackles her and starts to, like, bash her face in. Like, she goes straight for the face. And she bit her.
And I thought to myself,
violence is not funny, but that was kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, like, I saw it right when Andreas Deja said that, like, all of her movements were very, like, underestimated type thing. I'm like, except for that one. That one was very much fun, I'm sure he had.
Yeah, she really railed on that one chick.
Yeah, I think Lilo and Stitch, they really, all their moments are hilarious. I think in one moment with Stitch, and they're in the grocery store, and he sees the baby, and they sort of, like, give each other a hey, the baby has the bottle, he has the sucker, and then they just walk. I mean, it has nothing to do with the movie, but it just helps build his character that he's just hilarious. I don't know that he is, but...
Yeah, totally. Okay, so I have a couple problems with the film. Maybe y'all can help me out with them.
Okay.
We are the real Brady Bros. Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg, and who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
All right, so if in the beginning of the film, they said that Stitch, his molecular structure is too unstable to be in water, and they're like, oh, that's so great. He's headed straight for the ocean, and then he lands in Hawaii, and they're like...
I know. They're like, oh, no.
If Stitch can't be in the water, then why did he go surfing? Why was there that whole scene where he was in water?
I think he's on the surfboard, so he doesn't actually... Luckily, he's betting that they aren't going to wipe out and crash. He's hoping that they are expert surfers and they are going to catch the perfect wave and then ride into the beach.
But there's the part where Dr. I want to keep calling him Jumbo, where the evil genius doctor grabs him and drags him underwater. So at that point, wouldn't all their problems be solved? Like, I guess I don't get that part.
Well, because he didn't stay underwater. They tried to keep him under, and he almost died, but then David had to pull. David ended up pulling him out.
Water for a various period of time.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Maybe it takes a while. All right, so I guess that's not a big deal. Okay, so my other biggest problem with this film is at the end, Captain Ganu, is that his name? Captain...
I don't know.
Oh, Captain Gantu, I think is his name. We're such horrible Disney fans. He captures Lilo and Stitch, and then Stitch escapes, and then he tries to get her back. And then he subsequently gets captured by the doctor and the silly little agent guy. And they're like, all right, now we'll just... They leave a message with Galactic Federation. We're like, we'll wait for you. At that point, wouldn't the Galactic Federation people be like, wait, hold on, our captain is supposed to have Stitch. Let me check with him. Hey, you got the wrong person, so drop them off and come get Stitch. You know, that's all they had to do. I don't get why they had to do the massive chase at the end. It's exciting and it's cool, but like, didn't it kind of, I don't know, couldn't it have been easily avoided?
Probably, yeah. But it wouldn't have had the time for Stitch to come clean and be like, okay, quack.
okay. Oh, I forgot about that part. That was cute.
He like keeps trying to say it, but like everybody just keeps knocking him in the face, which at that point I'm thinking, but he must really like these people if he's willing to put up with all this right through this whole thing.
Oh, we are family, Ohana.
Better than me.
Well, yeah. He's kind of like a more playful-sounding Smeagol. All right. I also like this movie because instead of a "you lied to me" moment, it has a "you ruined everything, you jerk, now get away from me" moment, you know. Bug's Life had both.
Those aren't very common.
Yeah. And so I thought it was refreshing because it didn't follow that formula. Also, there are two A113 license plates in the film. Bet you can't guess which one they are.
Well, I did see them. Or one of them.
I don't know where the second one is.
There's the fire truck, and then there's the truck full of explosive material that he drives into the volcano. They both have A113 license plates.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So... moving on to kind of the themes of the movie. I mean, you went into the ending, which I loved the ending. It was so sweet and so tear-jerking, and the music worked out perfectly. I was like, oh, so good. But it did show a lot of, like, it showed how well they were able to bring in so many different themes that really aren't talked about in a lot to this, or at least if they are, they're not done this to this degree of just quality. One of them is loneliness. And aww. I felt like they really did a good job with that. One part actually was really interesting. When Stitch lands and they think it's a falling star, shooting star. And right when they're like walking and looking out toward it, it shows off to the side a little chest of drawers or something. And you can see Dumbo. Like a stuffed animal of Dumbo in there. And that also shows that he was yet another outcasted and misunderstood character. Like, all right, that's cool. But yeah, the loneliness that everybody kind of feels. Stitch doesn't have a higher purpose.
It's interesting what Dr. Jumba observes about Stitch, like, having nothing to do after he has nothing left to destroy. And he's like, it's kind of sad, isn't it? Like, he doesn't have any memories or family to hold on to. And then there's this interesting part at the end where Jumba is like, you know, I made you. You're built to destroy. And that made me think of Final Fantasy IX. If anyone has ever played it, there's a character who suffers the same fate, finding out that they were made in a factory and they were basically built to be like a minion that destroys. And it's kind of this weird, like, existential, like, moment. And it's kind of scary to think about, but the whole point is that Stitch finds his Ohana, and it's kind of cute at the end, because he's like, they're small and they're broken, but they're good. Right? Isn't that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's cute. That's a good moment there at the end. That's the money shot right there.
Yeah. It also brings up adoption. Adoption is good.
Adoption is good.
I adopted him. That means he's family. Ohana means no one gets left behind. I mean, that was cool.
I like it, the part where the Galactic Federation person is like, well, there's no loophole, so I guess we gotta arrest him again. She's like, hold up. I bought him. I paid $2 for him. I own him. And so, she's like, thank you. Okay, we'll make a loophole for him. Stay on exile on this planet.
I love that the aliens are all about rules. And how they really are able to...
Agent Bubbles.
Yeah, that's
funny. Well, another couple that I really I liked was Elvis and surfing can really make any bad day better.
Oh, that is a great theme.
I know.
That is a great moral.
Yeah. And destruction of private property is okay. If you are cute and fluffy.
Cute and fluffy. But yeah. They totally made it sound like, you know, they just found the money to pay for their house again.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Totally unrealistic. Would never happen. 0 out of 10.
Well, now we know where the CIA's budget is going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Put it to something good. Yeah. Like rebuilding houses.
Yeah, I know.
She mentioned Elvis, and we've been talking about it throughout. This film has different music than your traditional Disney animated film. A lot of the ones previously, especially in the 90s, had these great Broadway-esque scores and music and you know, songs with lyrics, and the characters were singing. In this film, no characters sing. There are two songs, one Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride.
I love that song.
Song at the very beginning, which I'm not going to even try to pronounce, but da 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 da.
Tali la lega Holloway. I don't know. I'm not Hawaiian.
So, no, I'm just singing Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride.
Yeah.
There's no place I'd rather be than on a surfboard out on sea. Something in the ocean blue. Let me tell you something about the soundtrack, people. We listened to it a good 5 times every week when the soundtrack was released, because my little sister was and is obsessed with Elvis, and she really liked the Lilo and Stitch soundtrack in general. So we would play it like all the time.
Your sister and I would get along really well.
Oh, this was a long time ago when we weren't listening to the Smash Mouth album, you know, the only one that was good from them. We were listening to the Lilo and Stitch soundtrack.
Classy.
Yeah, we were very
love Elvis. Of my top performers, like, to watch of all time, Elvis is number one. And it makes me so sad that I can no longer do that, except for on videos. But I, you know, something to learn find out in living in the South, everybody is kind of aware of, apparently. Elvis is still alive, and he lives in Alabama.
Oh, everybody knows
just,
that shit.
Just saying. But it's... Anyway, oh my gosh. And then the final end credit, not the final end credit song, but the beginning end credit song, where you have Wynonna Judd singing the Elvis song. Oh my gosh. Favorite moment. I love.
I'm just a hunger in love.
So yep. Did you like the fact that they had this Elvis soundtrack throughout?
Yeah.
I didn't understand why they put it in, but I was okay that they did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's one point in time, it's not very pronounced, but you can kind of hear Elvis singing Blue Hawaii, because he did have an album that was, he really did make Hawaii that much more famous.
Oh, he did a whole movie on it, right?
Yeah.
Like a couple, I guess.
Right.
Remember when he was all into movies? Have you seen an Elvis Presley movie? Obviously, you probably have.
But I think that's one of the main reasons. Even if it wasn't the same reason, I would be totally okay with the fact that they had all of these Elvis songs in there. In fact, there's one point in time at the very end when they're like traveling and doing all these like the snapshot pictures of their little family when they go to Graceland, and like my heart sinks. I'm like, I want to go to Graceland so much.
Someday, anyway, Chelsea.
Someday. I almost went one time when I was driving to Nashville, but we got there right as it closed, and I was so sad.
Heartbreak Hotel.
I like the Elvis songs, but at the same time, I guess I don't like them. I guess I'm indifferent to them. I think they're okay, but I don't think they make the movie. I mean, they do make the movie in the fact that every aspect of this movie is so unique. I mean, there's no traditional songs. You have a few Hawaiian songs, then you have Elvis, then you have space, and then you have, you know, watercolor backgrounds, and it's just this giant hodgepodge of everything. So I guess I'm surprised by the fact that Elvis is the lead thing for most of the songs.
No one cares about Elvis when there's space involved. Elvis, space. They never made a space Elvis movie.
Not yet.
Yeah. So I think all in all, I was very, very impressed with this film. Like, I was super entertained. I love Stitch. I love Lilo. And I think I really enjoyed all of the characters. Like, there wasn't really a character where I was like, I don't really relate to this guy. Or, I don't really care about these characters, but I really did care about these characters. Like, you can really see the struggle with Nani trying to, like, make ends meet, you know, and at the same time devote, you know, time and attention to Lilo, who has, she's more complicated to raise and take care of, I guess. And now she has to deal with an alien, you know. So she deserves mucho respect as a Disney heroine.
Yeah.
You know, this movie was interesting to me. I liked it, but I feel like the last act kind of drags.
A
little bit.
I think the most interesting parts of this film are just when they're on the island and it's Lilo and her interactions, and then Stitch comes in the picture and then we see them interacting. And then I think really once the action starts in this film is where I start to lose a little interest. And then once the action's over, you know, the fighting and the bombs and the explosions, and then they're on that beach at the very end, that's when I get interested again. It's funny, you think the action would be the one that, like, keeps your attention, but for me in this film, not so much. I didn't like it as much. I like the more real moments when they're just sitting and talking. So that very last moment where they're interacting with the aliens, and it's just so bizarre because there's these, you know, the two girls, and then there's David, and then there's Stitch, and then there's all these aliens in a giant spaceship, and they're just kind of working it out like, yeah, this is no big deal. Like, do I remember
diplomacy?
Roswell, 1973. Oh, yeah. And then she just moves on.
You had hair then.
Like, oh yeah, you had hair back then.
Yeah, I love that part. So I don't know. I don't know if anyone else feels that way about the action scenes, but that's when I'm really kind of like, all right.
That's a good point, because the third act, it doesn't leave any room for the characters to do their, like, situation comedy and show off their quirky personalities. Like, Lilo kind of gets a little muted, and she turns into, like, little child in distress towards the end. So I totally get that. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also you get so used to the pacing that it was before that moment that when it comes to the, you know, big old chase scene and everything, you kind of are not used to that and you're not expecting that. And it tends to, you want to go back to that other pace that you had, you know, spent the last 50 minutes getting used to.
I get you.
And it goes right back to that, yeah, at right once that.
But then again, if they kept that same humor, then it would kind of be like, if they kept that humor throughout the, like, climatic chase sequence at the end, then it would probably be a lot like Emperor's New Groove and kind of, like, lose the urgency or, like, lose the feeling. These are feeling fingers.
These are jazz fingers.
These.
I asked our followers on Twitter, I asked, who is your favorite character in Lilo and Stitch and why? He says, Lilo, she's one of the most real, raw, and true characters in animation.
Hello.
Ben Rose says, Nani, she has the responsibility of two parents and sometimes can't take it, but she always makes ends meet for Lilo. Sad, crying face. Oh, it's true. Screenhog says, favorites are Jumba for being the best kind of evil genius, and Nani for giving the film its heart and family core. Rapunzel de la Torre says, Lilo, she's kooky and yells all while still being loving and like a real kid. I love the relationship between her and Nani. The Book King says, Nani's entire story arc is fascinating, especially looking back on it. I'm able to appreciate it more as an adult. Kimber says, Stitch is my favorite Disney character of all time. We got it. Lover in the house. That being said, Lilo and Nani are extremely important to me as sisters. I think a lot of people really do like this film because of this. This was like before Frozen made sister relationships cool. There were Lilo and Nani. Meg says Lilo, she's relatable and funny at the same time. Blake Riley says my fave is Nani because she's unappreciated and ahead of her time as a character as a single strong-willed motherly figure. Charmaine says Stitch is my favorite character because of his redemption story. Love that Ohana means family. Family means no one gets left behind. Sarah says Lilo. Shelby says Myrtle. Laurie says Stitch. And Mark Brown says Cobra Bubbles. His name is just awesome.
That's true.
I love that there's quite a range of people who have different feelings on these different characters. There's not one. Nani obviously seems to be the breakaway character in this, but there's not. It's not just 90% of everyone saying they love Stitch or, you know, a different character. And I like that there's quite a big variety, which is another reason why I think this film is so successful, because all the characters are very watchable and enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, all the characters are really cool.
All right, so if we're going to rate this, I'm going to give this 4.5 stars. After I watched it just one time, I would have given it 4. But after the second two times, I'm like, no, this is 4.5, man. I give it bonus points for getting me all teary-eyed at the end, because you really cared about these people. You really cared about the family. You cared about Stitch and the fact that you wanted him to stay with them. The movie was funny, but at the same time, the bad guys, they were amazing. But they weren't too over the top. Like Mason made that point earlier. Like I never felt like I was pandered to ever. So that was really good. And the whole thing, it was just really, really mature and grabbed me. I liked the pacing. Now, at the time, it didn't resonate with me to the point at the beginning, like the first time I ever watched this, it didn't resonate with me that I wanted to watch it over and over and over again. And honestly, I still don't want to watch it over and over and over again, but now I'm okay with watching it over and over again. So it's, I guess after you have watched it, it grows on you even more. So that's why I give it 4.5.
4.5? Holy cow. Must have been the music.
Elvis too.
Elvis. Chelsea's biased.
Aren't I am, all, completely.
We're all biased with our own opinions. Who would have thought something like that would happen? All right, so I'm going to give it 4 stars. And I really enjoy this movie, but I just said, I do think that it drags a bit for me at the third act. And I think Mason said it exactly. It's because it sort of deviates from the humor and the tone that was established, but it's necessary, right? Because we need to get that final battle and everything resolved. I love the humor in this film. I absolutely love the character designs, and I wish, you know, because they're so unique and different, I think that's one reason why I love Hercules, because those characters are very unique in their style as well. And, you know, a lot of Disney films, more or less, even though they're unique and they're different, they kind of all look the same. But this one, the characters really stand out as being different. Like one that totally stands out to me, and my favorite character in the film, for any other reason, but the blonde Baywatch lifeguard with really, I mean, her thighs are amazing, and I love her. I would love to have a Chris Sanders drawing of that Baywatch babe. So for all those reasons, I love the characters, I love the design. It's not a perfect film for me. It's not one that I need to necessarily go and watch on the regular. However, when I do see it, I'm always very, you know, I it brings a smile to my face and I do laugh. So 4 stars.
Dang, it's down to me, huh? I'm gonna give it 4 stars as well. It was not the perfect animated film. Everybody's heard my thing on that. But I really enjoyed it because of how different it was from other animated films. I feel like in this era of, you know, Disney Animation Studios, they were trying new things, I guess, or like giving their artists more freedom to try new things, you know, like the character designs in Lilo and Stitch, you know. And I really enjoyed... we didn't even talk about the background or the watercolor backgrounds. Like Chelsea did a little bit. Those are just brilliant. like as Paul Felix, he did the Viz Dev for a lot of the concept art and stuff like that. And his stuff is just amazing. And so like the artwork combined with the humor and the personalities of the characters, and the fact that they make like space aliens and Hawaii and orphans work, like they made them all work in one movie. It just makes it very solid. And so, yeah, definitely 4 out of 5 stars. That is a very, very good rating.
All right. So we want to hear what some of our audience members think about this film. And this was probably one of the most voicemail callers that we got for any episode. So we are just going to go right into it. And there may be some that I don't play. So if you sent them in, I'm sorry. It's probably because you, you're awesome. But there we have like 20 of these. So I just picked a few that we could talk about. So our first one is from Rachel. And let's listen to that.
Hi, guys. This is Rachel Wagner. And I like Lilo and Stitch. To me, it's a movie that grows on me the more I see it. And one of the things I really do like about it is that it is one of the only Disney films that's about a little child, a little girl. And I guess my question was, why do you think that is? Why do you think most Disney films are about adolescents or young adults as opposed to children? And so thanks for the podcast. Love it. And have a great day.
I love Rachel just in general. She's one of our patrons, but she also has such great voicemails because she always ends with a question. And I think one reason why a lot of films don't focus on children, because I think older children, like adolescents or in your teen or young adult years or even adult years, is easier to relate to for most people. But then I think there's sort of this stigma attached to children things that if the main character is a child, then it's for children. And I know this is true within, you know, the book industry. One way that they categorize whether a piece of work is a children's book or, you know, YA or adult, part of that is based on the age of the character. So if the book follows a young character, even though it may have somewhat more mature themes, they'll put it as a children's book or as a YA novel. You know, like I know Harry Potter was initially a children's book because the main character was, you know, a child and then turned into more or less children / YA. So that's kind of my reasoning. I think most adults maybe just assume little kids as the focus, then it's a little kid show, which is so such a limited view to have because there's so much that can be learned from through the eyes of a child or watching a film about a child who's the main character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's frustrating as a lover of animation when it gets stigmatized like that.
Mm-hmm. We all do it.
But there's a lot of, you know, made for kids animation out there, so
yeah,
makes sense.
Our next one is from Mark.
Hey, Morgan, Mason, and Chelsea. It's Mark. How are y'all doing today? No, I don't have another limerick poem today, sorry. I'm just calling because I hear you guys are doing a review of Lilo and Stitch, which I'm looking forward to hearing. Lilo and Stitch was a movie that I remember when I first saw it when I was young. I really wasn't a fan of it, unlike I know how everyone else was. And I don't know why. The only thing I can think of is that I just never liked the character of Lilo. I found her to be quite bratty for me to like, I guess. But ever since then, my view of the movie has increased, thankfully. I still don't think it's one of my favorite films it's not one of my favorite films, but I do respect it a lot more. And my favorite character in the film, I think, is Cobra Bubbles, just because that's a cool name, Cobra Bubbles. So anyway, yeah, looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about the movie. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Mark.
Our next one's Gabby.
Hiya, Rotoscopers. I'm Gabby. I was really happy when I heard you were doing a podcast on Lilo and Stitch, as it's one of my favorite Disney movies, and I can't wait to hear what you guys think of it. I remember the first time I heard of this movie was when I went to see Ice Age, and the trailer before the feature presentation was one of the hilarious Disney crossovers with Stitch, in this case, Aladdin. I remember at first being confused and then laughing so hard when this adorable blue koala bear thing popped up out of nowhere and flirted with Jasmine. When I finally saw Lilo and Stitch later that year, I loved everything about it. The animation, the gorgeous watercolour backgrounds, the music and songs. My mum loved the Elvis Presley song list. The setting of Hawaii, and especially the characters. Not just Stitch, but Lilo and Nani were lovable and relatable, and Jump and Pleakley were very funny. I could go on and on about what else I like, but that would make this message too long. So I'll just end with this. Have any of you guys seen the Lilo and Stitch TV series and the sequel? I actually thought the sequel was pretty good, and it had a very emotional ending, though I'm not so keen on Dakota Fanning replacing Davy Chase as Lilo. As for the TV series, it was fun, sort of like Pokemon, and apparently very popular in Japan, like Stitch himself. Anyway, see you guys in the next podcast. Bye!
Going off of mentioning that she said it was is really big in Japan, I did see an interview with Chris Sanders how later on, years after he had done Lilo and Stitch, he was in Japan, and it happened to be on June 26th, and everyone was like, you have to say something, it's Stitch Day here, and everyone is crazy about Stitch, so you have to say something. He's like, wait, what? And he was so like taken back the fact that Stitch was everywhere, even years later. But as far as seeing the, I have not seen the sequel. I've not seen the sequel, but I have seen the cartoon. And like I mentioned before, the cartoon was, it was fun. I probably would have liked it more as a child than I do now, but it looks cool.
Hi, Rotoscopers. This is Katie sending you a voicemail for your Lilo and Stitch episode. I have loved Lilo and Stitch for as long as I can remember. It's one of my favorite Disney movies. Stitch is probably one of my favorite Disney characters. He's just so loyal, and he's, of course, adorable. He's like man's best friend 2.0. I also watched the second and third Lilo and Stitch. They're not as bad as some of the other Disney sequels. That belongs to Mulan 2. That animation, just, it's horrible. Their mouths get all huge and blah, don't like it. But you can only watch it so many times before you get really bored about it. Like, I don't know. I used to be able to watch it tons of times, and then it just got so repetitive and I didn't like it. I used to be afraid of when Stitch's eyes went all green, but that was a long time ago. It also used to make me cry when Stitch got all, like, passed out and stuff, and I was just like, oh, Disney, you kill me. I also used to watch the animated show about Lilo and Stitch, the one where they had to round up all of Jumba's previous experiments. It was especially fun when they crossed over from all of the other animated series of the times. They crossed over with Kim Possible, American Dragon Jake Long, Recess, and The Proud Family. And it was like the best for me. It was just like, ah, my childhood. It's back, and I don't know, I just miss him so much. I was wondering what your guys' favorite experiment was, if you've seen the series. Mine is obviously Stitch, but besides that, I like the Babyfire and the Freeze guy. Let me know what you guys think. I can't wait for your episode. Bye.
Hi, Rotoscopers. This is Crystal. I'm really excited to hear that you guys are doing Lilo and Stitch. It's one of my favorite Disney movies. I love the animation. I love the watercolor backgrounds that they did on Hawaii. The humor is fantastic. I love the character Lilo. I love Stitch. I love the plot and the redemption story and emphasizing family and friendship. And it's just a beautiful, wonderful movie that everyone should see. And the music is pretty incredible, too. Not just all the Elvis songs, but the Hawaiian songs and incorporation of Hawaiian culture. This movie came out back when I was in high school, and it's the sort of movie I wish I could have seen at a much younger age. It might have helped me out a lot, because Lilo is such a weird little kid, and I would have liked to be friends with her, and I felt like her a lot of times. I love her character design, that she's Native Hawaiian. I love relationship she has with her sister. It's not unlike the relationship I have with my three siblings. And my niece really loves this movie, too. She's loved it since she was four, at least until Frozen came along. And she loves the soundtrack. It's something I get to play for her every time we go for a car ride. She will just request the opening song, Hemele no Lilo, or the Hawaiian roller coaster ride. So I just cue those up for before I even start the car, really. So I look forward to hearing your thoughts, and I wanted to thank you for all your hard work, Morgan, Chelsea, and Mason. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Rotoscopers, this is Ellen, and I'm calling to leave a voicemail about the Lilo and Stitch episode. I'm so excited that you guys decided to do an episode about Lilo and Stitch because I think it's such an underrated Disney movie. It holds a special place in my family's heart because growing up, it was one of my sister's favorite movies, and we would watch it all the time. Also, we're Hawaiian, so it was really cool to see our culture represented in a Disney movie. And, like, even though we didn't live in Hawaii, my sister and I danced hula as kids, so it was awesome to see ourselves in the character of Lilo. Speaking of Lilo, I love the relationship between her and Nani. I just think that sister relationship is so powerful and so heartfelt. And I actually think Nani is one of the most realistic characters in a Disney movie, which is surprising because it's a science fiction plot, but Lilo, Nani, the boyfriend, I think his name's Daniel, are all such realistic characters to me, and I love the relationship between the three of them. Also, Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride is one of the greatest songs in a Disney movie, so overall, Lilo and Stitch is 4.75 stars for me. I can't wait to hear your guys' thoughts about it. Thanks for all that you do. Bye.
Hello, Rotoscopers. My name's Stitch. Kidding, it's me, Sarah, and I'm here to leave a voicemail for your Lilo and Stitch episode. This used to be one of my favorite movies, up until recently, and when I rewatched it, it was just a little bit too sad for me. But I really like the relationships in this episode, and, I mean, in this movie, not episode, and like Lord Punch Butter, and it's just a really solid movie that I would probably watch again pretty soon. And anyways, decide leave a short voicemail. Bye guys, love you.
Hello Rotoscopers, it's Adriana. It's been a long time since I sent in a review to you guys, but I knew with Lilo and Stitch being the movie on the podcast, I had to do one. I've been waiting since 2013 for you guys to do Lilo and Stitch on the podcast, and I'm super excited to hear your guys' reviews. If you don't like the movie, I might be a little bit upset, but you know, I've never actually met someone who absolutely hates Lilo and Stitch. So, okay. I'm gonna go right off and say that I give this movie 5 stars. I just love this movie. It's so relatable and emotional, and it's so funny and quotable, and it's just such a fun movie. And it has such emotional depth that you don't think it would have for, like, such a funny-looking movie from the outside. You know, the scene where Nani and Lilo are saying goodbye, like, in the hammock, is one of my favorite scenes in Disney animation. And it's so beautifully done. I love how quotable this movie is. I know there's the Ohana quote that's on every hipster blog on Tumblr. But, you know, there's quotes like, I hate this planet, and this is your badness level. It's incredibly high for someone your size. And have you ever killed anyone? I love the Elvis songs. I love the montages. I just love this movie, guys. You don't understand how much I adore Lilo and Stitch. My brother and I came up with a ridiculous Disney crossover theory. We were watching Monsters University and Lilo and Stitch kind of back to back. And we noticed how Dean Hardscrabble and the leader of the Intergalactic Alien Alliance, like, they looked alike, and they kind of sounded alike. Well, I mean, like, they don't really look that much alike, but their faces kind of looked alike. And we're like, oh, what if they were related? Wouldn't that be cool? And we were like, oh, crap, what if they actually are related? And the monsters from Monsters, Inc. are actually the aliens from Lilo and Stitch. So here's how we think that the two worlds are related. In the Lilo and Stitch TV show, Jumba and the Experiments were living on Earth, and we were like, well, what if they got, like, a little too rowdy? So the Intergalactic Alien Alliance made Jumba build a portal to another dimension where they couldn't bother humans as much. And Jumba invented this like way to go between dimensions, which eventually led to the doors. And he also came up with he discovered the scream energy too. And so he took all his experiments to this other dimension, and they'd come back and, you know, steal scream energy and, you know, go back and forth. And over time, while they were in this alternate dimension, they became more monster-like. And that's our little crazy crossover theory, and I can't wait to hear your guys' review on the podcast.
Elvis Presley was a model citizen. I've compiled a list of his traits for you to practice. Number one is dancing.
Look like an angel, walk like an angel, talk like an angel, but I got wise. You're the devil in disguise, oh yes you are, devil in disguise.
Thank you guys for everybody who's come in and sent us voicemails. We've had probably more than we've ever gotten before, and it's really cool. So thank you so much. Thank you guys so much for coming in. Mason and I were going to take over the ending remarks here. For show notes and anything that is coming our way, you want to find that at rotoscopers.com/106. Be sure to comment and leave reviews. I'm on there. I'll get on there, and I always look at your guys' comments and try to talk back, and Mason and Morgan do as well. So we love hearing from you guys there. Also, if you're on Twitter, make sure to use the hashtag AnimAddicts or AnimAddicts106. And then also you can, like we were saying, for voicemails, to continue to send voicemails, that's going to be at 406-646-6575, or you can just go to rotoscopers.com/voicemails. Supporting the show is really easy. All you have to do is type in rotoscopers.com/Patreon. You can head on over there and join the Roto Nation. We love being able to talk with everybody on all of the Facebook group. We are always, there's always somebody making really cool conversations on there. So I love that. Mason, are we able to hear you? Morgan, are you guys back? So, okay. I'll just finish things off then. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube. Yay!
I don't know if y'all can hear me, but I can't hear anything anymore. I'm sorry. My headphones don't work.
Oh, you can hear me?
I've been trying for the past 5 minutes and smiling like everything is okay and that I'm like I'm listening.
Well, I hear you. Oh, perfect. Yay! To all of those people who have given us 5-star reviews on iTunes, thank you. We like seeing you and talking to you guys. Social media, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, everything. You can check me out on Chelsea Robson on Twitter. You can also go to my website, chelsearobson.com. You can do Morgan Stradling on Twitter and also Instagram. You can also check her out on the Snapchat. Mason, you can find him on Twitter at MasonSMTX and also thisanimatedlife.blogspot.com. Our next episode... We are very excited. Our next episode is going to be Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. This was actually something that we've really been looking forward to. So I'm definitely, if you guys have any type of voicemails for Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, number one, please send those to us. We can't wait to hear from you guys. And then following that, we also have the Peanuts movie. So looking forward to all these fun things. All right, guys. Is there anything else you guys want to pantomime toward me that I can share?
The title.
Oh, yeah. So right now we are going to do a fun thing. We are going to be recording the title. Normally I'll do this afterward, but I wanted to invite all of the people who are on the chat. What do you guys want the title of this episode to be? So go ahead. I mean, thinking about some of the funny, cool things that we talked about. Let's see. Elvis was pretty prominent through our discussion. What else did we do? Any ideas out there? The Bait and Stitch, Morgan says. I think we're going to do that one. Yes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming. Until next time, we are the Rotoscopers.
Are we saying goodbye? Yep. I can't hear anything.